Hey, everybody, this is Chris Eggleston, and welcome to another excellent episode of Marketing Draft. It's a beautiful day, and excited to be with you. All right, so today I want to talk about turning your website into a media platform. I think that there's a lot of opportunities for us to use other platforms that we don't have control of or don't have ownership of because they're easier to use. And I'll give you a couple examples of those. And the reason I'm doing this is because this podcast today is because I've experienced this through clients. And recently had a discussion with somebody about it and have recently had a little bit of a mind shift, more of a usability shift, in these other platforms and how to use them. And so that's what I want to share with you. So first off, what is a media platform? Okay. So a media platform would be using your website for more than just a brochure, right? More than just, this is our about page. This is our contact page. This is our services, right? That's just a brochure. When we talk about a media platform, that's where you're going to host all of your content, right? Whether you have a membership site, if you're selling online courses, if you're hosting a podcast, webinars, all of your opt-in sequences, all of your digital content, right? So everything that you're doing digital-wise, your online sales, your e-commerce, all of that, putting all that into your core website. Which I always call home base, is what we would call creating a digital platform, right? Or a media platform. And so you want your website to be home base. You want that to be the core location for all of your content. And it used to be so complicated and expensive to do that. For me, when I first started building these media platforms for my customers, I was charging upwards of $10,000 to build out a full-blown media platform. Where they have membership capabilities, where they have online course selling capabilities, where they have e-commerce capabilities, where they had the ability to publish videos and podcasts and all these things through the platform, okay? So it was just outrageously expensive. It was very hard to do. It took a lot of work in development. And today there are simpler solutions. And today what's happened is we look at all these different components of what makes a media platform, right? So we look at sites like Udemy.com where they've created a platform for publishing online courses. You look at other sites like I just forgot the name. It'll come to me. What is it? It's another site for publishing online content. Kajabi. There it is. So you look at Kajabi. Again, Kajabi has built-in features like a membership capability and, you know, online courses, and now they have landing pages, and I think they even say, you know, you can build out your whole media platform, your whole website there on their platform and just use it exclusively. And then you have, I just thought of another one, but I forgot it. Oh, Infusionsoft, which again allows you to do all these things to build out your own media platform, email marketing. You got your membership. You have your landing pages. You have your e-commerce. All that's built into Infusionsoft, right? And so you can use that tool and their platforms and their sites. And what happens is we get away from owning or having control over this content that we're publishing. Another popular one as of late and its growth over the past couple of years has been Medium, which is just a publishing site. You can go there and publish content. Anybody can publish content there. There's no restrictions on the type of content you can publish. But you don't. It's not like WordPress.com where you go set up your own blog, essentially. You just go and you dump your content into the massive feed of content that's being published there. And it's kind of at first I was like, that's stupid, right? Like, that is a dumb idea. Like, why would you, as a content creator, want to go throw your content into somebody else's platform and help them build up their site? But, and this is where part of the mind shift comes is I see an opportunity to utilize that platform like Medium because it's growing so so rapidly, because it's becoming so popular and so many people are going there to find the information that they need. It's becoming a whole other search engine for content. And there are some thought leaders there. There are a lot of people publishing content there. And I recently heard about somebody, they're building their entire platform there. Because you can do a spin-off of Medium and set up your own domain name so that people can go to your domain name and only see your content, right? So it's kind of a way to set up your own publishing site, if you will, through Medium. And then, so here's the thing, like, you don't own or have control of that platform. If that platform, if any of these platforms, whether it's Facebook, Udemy, Medium, Tumblr, if any of these platforms just went away, right? If they decided to shut them down, or if they decided to change policies like Facebook has done, and I know people who have had their Facebook pages just terminated because it violated a very simple policy. No warnings, no chances to correct it. It was just a shutdown, right? And they were running their entire business through there. And so, it was a problem. Udemy. Let's look at Udemy for a minute. You can publish courses, your online courses on Udemy. It used to be that you could price them at whatever price you wanted. And then Udemy made some changes, I guess it was this year, just a few months ago, I believe February or March, they made some changes to their pricing structure. And now you're limited to how much you can charge. I think it was effective in April, but you're limited to how much you can charge. And you can charge, your course can be anywhere from $5 to $50 at the most, or $20 to $50 at the most. And you can go from 20 to 25 to 30 to 35 to 40 to 45 to 50. So in $5 increments, you can increase the price. And so people who are selling courses worth hundreds of dollars on Udemy are now having to provide those courses for $50 or pull out, right? Pull off of the platform and move somewhere else. The other thing that Udemy does is when they do a discount, it's a site-wide discount. It's not on specific people. It's not on courses where the creators have agreed to give you access to their course at this Udemy discount. No, it's like site-wide, like you have to participate. So if you're selling a $20 course and they're giving you a 40% discount, well, now you're selling your course for 12 bucks, right? Something like that. And so it's affecting your ability to generate revenues and to really charge your value. And so using Udemy as your core platform for publishing your courses would be bad news. And for all those who were doing that exclusively, making great money in the start, now are realizing that this was a bad move. This was a bad decision to use Udemy as our core platform for course creation and publication. Right, and I think about Tumblr right now, and I think about Tumblr because of the recent acquisition of Yahoo through Verizon, and one of the parts of that acquisition was Tumblr. So now Verizon owns Tumblr. So Yahoo bought Tumblr. I don't know, 2000 and something after Marissa came in. That was like her biggest acquisition, $1.1 billion. She acquired Tumblr with the promise to just leave it alone. They really didn't do much. They improved upon maybe the usability and the publishing platform, but that was really just the Tumblr crew still just working on building out Tumblr. Tumblr has 65 million users to date, the recording of this podcast. But there's no real certainty as to what is Verizon going to do with Tumblr. Are they going to do anything with it? Are they just going to leave it alone? Are they going to kill it? I mean, you think about Tumblr, who acquired Yahoo, which also brought with it sites like TechCrunch, where TechCrunch is essentially just a publishing platform where people go and publish tech content. Are they going to turn Tumblr into the same thing? What's the purpose? What's going to happen to Tumblr? And if you're using Tumblr, what's going to happen to your content? Are you going to be forced to display advertisements? Are you going to be forced to start publishing something in a specific way? You don't know. You don't have control over the platform, and so you can't do anything about it, right? You just have to take the hits as they come. And so as I talk about these things, I hope you realize the danger and the potential loss that you have when you're using a third-party platform you have no control over as your primary resource. So So how do you do it, right? How do you turn your own website into a media platform that you have more control over? Now, you could go and you could spend $10,000+ to have somebody build you out a platform. But what I want you to do is I want you to take a look at my favorite platform for a complete media digital platform for your business, because it does everything. It has everything included. It's brilliantly done. And it is a third-party platform. But the thing about it is you can export your content at any time and take it somewhere else. Now, you'll have to do some work to get it set up, because your export, you know, essentially you can export it. If you're familiar with WordPress, you can go into WordPress and export all your content and then re-import it somewhere else that supports that file type. So if you took all your content and exported it from this Rainmaker platform and then went and imported it into WordPress, you would still have access to all of your content. You would just have to reorganize and set your site back up and build out new stuff, right? You would lose your connection to podcasting, to iTunes, because that's all done through the Rainmaker platform. But the thing about the Rainmaker platform is their ultimate goal is to provide you, the user, the best media platform for your products, and bringing it all in-house into one place, so you no longer need third-party tools to do it. You don't have to be spread out. And so I have full confidence in the Rainmaker platform, and to give it even more confidence, and if you want to go check it out, go to chrisegg.me/try M. So chrisegg.me/try M. And if you use that URL, it'll give you the option to do a 14-day free trial without a credit card, which is a new thing that we got set up. So you can do a 14-day free trial, and you don't even have to enter your credit card like you normally do. So it's a really cool option. Again, chrisegg.me/try M. So with the Rainmaker platform, to give it some more validity and stability to it, when it was done by Copyblogger Media, the company behind Copyblogger.com, Brian Clark, who is the CEO of that company. So because Rainmaker has become such a huge hit and changed their entire business model and structure, so now they're no longer Copyblogger Media, they're now Rainmaker Media. So they changed the name of their company, and their core product is Rainmaker, and everything that they're doing is to make Rainmaker better, and to make you a better digital marketer, digital commerce entrepreneur. And so the thing I love about that is they're providing you the single most complete platform to host everything in one place. Their company, I think they're an 8-figure company. They're not going anywhere. They're only working to make that product better. And you have control over your content. You own it. You can export it. You can take it somewhere else if you desire. And so, yes, it is a third-party platform. However, you have control. Just like if you went and set up a website at WordPress.com, that is a third-party platform. But again, you have control over your content and what you can do with it. And so, again, go check it out. It's absolutely brilliant. chrisegg.me/try M. So here's where I want you to think about these other platforms. I'm not saying don't use them. I'm saying, rethink your strategy for using them. Because let's look at Medium, for example. With Medium, you have a platform where people are just publishing a ton of content and a ton of different topics and genres, and you have thought leaders, like people who are followed by millions of people, publishing content there. And at first I thought, this isn't brilliant. Like, why? You need to have ownership of your content, right? You should be owning your content, publishing it on your own platform. But what I didn't realize is that there is a really brilliant strategy that you could employ with Medium. And essentially, what you want to do with this is you want to use Medium as kind of an outlet, right? As another way to publish your content, so it gets more eyeballs. So instead of making it your core publishing platform, you're still going to write your blog posts and post your content on your own personal website. But then what you can do is you can go through, let's say, for example, you do a podcast where you interview people. And let's say you go through one of your archived podcast episodes and you take a quote from somebody you interviewed, and then you go over to Medium and you publish that quote, and then you expand upon it and you share a little bit about it, and then you link back to that podcast episode. So that's really how you want to think about using Medium. That's how I would recommend using Tumblr and Facebook as well. Same concept, right? You want to use those third-party mediums to just direct traffic back to your core platform, not to be your core platform, not to be the only place you're publishing your content. And I would never publish an original article at Medium. If I was publishing this article because it was what my users wanted and a core product, a core article that would benefit them, I wouldn't publish it at Medium. I'd publish it on my site. So I'd publish the core article on my personal website, and then I would go to Medium and do a spin-off of it, or maybe take one concept from it and then lead people to that article on my site for the full, you know, details, right? So if the article on my site is, for example, the 6 things you can do to growth hack your business, or the 6 ideas you can use to growth hack your business, right? And so what I might do is I'll write the full article with all 6 of the components at chrishaeg.com, but then I can go to Medium and I can take one of those 6 things and write an article on Medium about one of those 6 things, and then link to chrishaeg.com to that article there for the other 6 or the other 5 items on the list. So I'm not publishing my core content there. I'm using it as a way to drive more eyeballs to chrishaeg.com. But I'm tapping into an audience of people who are subscribed to daily Medium feeds into their email, people who are coming here to follow thought leaders like Jason Fried and Gary Vee, and you have Jay Baer, right? So you got Buffer, you got lots of people publishing content, lots of thought leaders and industry leaders publishing content at Medium, and people are coming there to see what they have. And so you can capture their eyeballs. And then again, always directing people back. Let's talk about Udemy as kind of the last example as how to use a third-party tool to help you grow your personal media platform. So with Udemy, what I would do is I would just publish free courses or $20 courses, and just to see if you can get buy-in, right? So for me, it would be where I publish my minimum viable products. So if I want to get a lot of eyeballs and a lot of attention, because there are a lot of people that are on Udemy who are browsing Udemy every day. And so if I wanted to tap into a large audience, then I would go to Udemy and I would use Udemy to publish free courses or cheap courses to test the validity of my idea, of my course, to see if I could get people to sign up for it for free, to see if I could get people to buy it, if it's something they're interested in paying for, if there's enough need for it for them to pay even a small amount of money for it. Because at which point I can then use that course to upsell to a bigger course, right? And so I wouldn't use these free courses. They wouldn't be like full-blown, like 5 module. They would be like 1 modules and like 6 lessons, right, at the most. Or 2 modules and the 3 lessons broken up between the 2 modules. And then just using that to constantly drive traffic to chrishaeg.com where my core products are. So the course at Udemy would be kind of like maybe the first module of a 5 module course. And I'd go publish it there for $20, or I'd go publish it there for free and drive some traffic there to that free course, see if I can't build up an audience on Udemy and validate my ideas before I go build out the full course, right? Or just to use it as if I already have the course created at chrishaeg.com, then I can use the Udemy free course to drive traffic and signups and new users and new students to the full course at chrishaeg.com. But if I'm back to the minimum viable product, if I'm trying to decide, is this course validable? Is there really an audience for it? Is this really something people are interested in? Then what I would do is I would create a very simple course, you know, 1 module, 3 videos, or just, you know, however, something very simple. And then use that as a way to see what the interest is. And it could be free, again, just to see if people are interested in that kind of content, getting feedback along the way throughout the course, and then having that audience there that I can now tap into and say, hey, look, would you be interested in 5 more modules that go over this, 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 and this? And if they say yes, they say great, because I have a course over at chrishaeg.com where you can go and take the full course, right? So use Udemy as and any other platform like that, as a way to validate your ideas, as a way to build an audience, and always be thinking, how am I going to get people from Udemy over to chrisegg.com, where they're actually going to purchase my full products, my full services, whatever it is. And again, using it to validate your ideas, to launch a small proof of concept or minimum viable product, and see if you get buy-in and see if you get people interested in those platforms. So you need to turn your website into a media platform. That's the objective. That's the point of this podcast. And that's through publishing lots of different types of content. That's through having a membership, even if it's a free membership, because you want people subscribing to your content. And it's easier to get them to subscribe to a membership, which you then just push the content into, so they only have to opt in one time. You want to be publishing courses if you're a digital entrepreneur, if you're doing anything that's education-based that your customers could benefit from a course. You should be doing podcasting. I mean, you should have started podcasting. We all should have started podcasting a long time ago, but today podcasting is growing and growing in users and adoption. So you want to be out there. You want to get involved. But then there's all kinds of other things you can do, through your site to add more digital commerce to it and making it more of a media platform where you're hosting lots and lots of content. And then again, the third parties, you're just using them to always build an audience and drive that audience to your courses at your core platform, which should be your website, like mine is chrisegg.com. All right. So, that's really it for today. And again, I think there's so much power, and everybody should have a media platform. I've been saying this for years. You should have your own home base, and you should own it. And you should have control over your content, and what happens with that content and what you do with that content and how much you can charge for that content and who can access that content and how they access that content. And then you use these other platforms like Medium, Udemy, Facebook, Tumblr, and then there's a whole bunch more. You use those to get more eyeballs, to build an audience, and drive that audience back to your core platform. All right, so that's it for today. Hopefully this was beneficial. Hopefully you see an opportunity for yourself to be able to go now that you know about the Rainmaker platform, to go to chrisegg.me/try-R-M to go try a 14-day trial, check out Rainmaker, see what the benefit is. This is not they're not promoting or paying for this podcast today. It's just that platform is the platform. And it's super affordable compared to the Infusionsofts and the other platforms out there. It's super affordable and just absolutely brilliant. I highly recommend it. So go check it out. Thanks for tuning in today. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode. And I'm thinking tomorrow I'm gonna catch up on an episode I promised you a couple episodes ago, where I was going to talk about how to use these live streaming tools to test your webinar ideas before you go through the process of building out webinars, promoting them, so on and so forth. So anyway, be sure to tune in for that, and have a great day, and we'll see you in the next episode.